Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Inside Scoop Live. Hello, I'm Susan Violante. I'm your host for today. I'm really excited to be speaking on the phone with Jackie Townsend, author of Imperfect Parents, a novel. Definitely a fun and captivating read as we find out how Jamie, an American career woman, copes with culture shock as she finds herself involved with Jack, her Italian love interest, also known as Giovanni. But before we start, let's learn a little bit more about Jackie. Jackie Townsend, a native of Southern California, spends a lot of her time in places not her own. As the youngest of four children, she carries with her a strong sense of family to these places, often foreign, and writes about belonging or not belonging, loss and love. Her second novel, Imperfect Parents, won the 2013 Indie Reader Discovery Award for Chick Lit. They must be redefining the category, she says, about the award. This novel is no typical Italian romance. For more information on Jackie and her book, visit her website at www.jackietownsend.com, and that is JACKIETOWNSEND.com. Hi, Jackie. How are you today?
Good. Thank you. How are you?
Pretty good. Thank you so much for coming to Inside Scoop Live today. I must say that I am a fan of your book. It's just
thank
wonderful.
Thank you.
And I know that this is your second one, so for our readers, Imperfect Pairings. It's a novel that is just like awesome, especially if you know any Italians. Because I just would laugh out loud, and I sympathize with the character like 100% because I am kind of a multicultural upbringing. So,
but okay, great, yeah,
So it was. So real, it's unbelievable. It's like you took a snapshot of my family.
You know, that's the interesting. I'm getting the most interesting comments from people like you who are involved in some kind of multicultural situation, and they really can identify, which is nice.
Yeah,
nice. I wasn't sure. You know.
Yeah, and it made me wonder about you. So why don't we start by learning a little bit more about your background and yourself as a
right.
Not an author, but as a person.
Right. Well, obviously, the book is somewhat based on some personal experience of mine. I'm born and raised in California, actually, California girl. I don't know how I got this way, but I was a math major in college, and I was very driven in one direction to be a businesswoman. I don't know why. I think my mother was a very independent woman and self-sustaining woman. My parents divorced when I was young, and you know, she kind of really taught me that, you know, you can be your own person and, you know, go after what you want. She's just that kind of very, very lively person and still is today. Mm-hmm. So I went down that track and it was great. I really enjoyed it. I went to business school at Berkeley, and which is actually where I met my husband, who is Italian. What a coincidence. And I worked hard for like 10 years and I just got burnt out. And I realized that it wasn't really what I wanted to do. Meanwhile, I'm married to this individual who is slowly beginning to, you know, make me look at the world differently. My husband actually was raised all over the world. He was raised in, he's Italian, but he was also raised in Thailand and Australia. So he moved around a lot. And so I was kind of, meanwhile, being exposed to these things I couldn't even let myself be exposed to because I was working so hard at my corporate job, or I was a management consultant for financial services companies. And so, you know, that was sort of, I quit my job, my career, just as I was sort of being put up for partner. And then I did some consulting in the dot-com boom era, so I kind of rode that wave up and wrote it down. Mm-hmm. And by then I was just started, and then I just one day I just sat down and said, I think I'm going to start writing. It was kind of strange. And, in fact, my husband, he's kind of my muse, I would say. He handed me the book Catcher in the Rye. He mm-hmm. said, why don't you read this? I mean, literally, because, you know, my background was not literature. So I read it, and I really just, that was it. I just started writing, and I didn't turn back. So a lot of my personal experiences are sort of in my books. And yeah. I write about some, you know, it's self-discovery. and fans.
Right, out of the blue. Your writing style is excellent. I was very impressed. And I worked on my writing for 16 years because I had to learn how to write in English. My first languages are Italian and Spanish.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, that's intense. Yeah.
Yeah, so I was able to visualize everything, and so your writing style is impeccable. You're a perfect example of what's going on with the internet boom on the literature and the publishing industry.
A lot of people
are finally deciding to write about themselves, and you know, some of them have funny stories, and some of them are current stories, and some of them are amazing stories from, you know, I don't know, World War II or who knows. How hard was it to go from a, you know, this career person, because I know it's intense when you're focusing only on your career and you're traveling and doing all these professional stuff, and the demands are so heavy sometimes that you don't have time to have a personal life, and then all of a sudden you go to an isolated
I think you have to be a certain kind of person. I think it worked for me because I'm very independent. I can, for whatever reason, be alone. I don't know, for stretches of time. I think it's because I'm the fourth child. I think I was always around people. So I always felt I grew up in a comfortable environment. So whatever. Anyway, I don't have a problem being alone. And also I'm a one track person. So when I was doing my career, I just I had to focus on that. I'm just, you know, I'll just go after that 100%. So when I started writing, right? I mean, I think you really have to just go after it 100%, if not 200%. You have to be able to just, you know, work hard. It's a lot of hard work. I mean, it took me, you know, I've written two books. It's really been 10 years that I've been devoting myself to this.
Yeah.
You know. And I've produced two books.
It's
getting easier.
Yeah, but you also have a blog on your website, and for our listeners, I want to give the website out, and you can check out her blog and her books at www.jackietownsend.com, and I want to spell that for you. It's J-A-C-K-I-E, T as in Tony, O-W-N-S-E-N-D.com. I read a couple of entries in your blog, and, you know, It's amazing how well you capture the. Let me explain this about myself so you understand how I sympathize with all your cultural shock. I was born and raised in Venezuela, and my parents are immigrants from Italy to Venezuela, but they adopted the Venezuelan culture so much that it wasn't until I met my husband that I went into culture.
Yeah, because with the Italian culture. Is your husband Italian?
Yes, he's totally Italian. And I'm in contact. Yeah, and I've been in Italy, and I mean, I'm talking about Sicily. But my father grew up in Tripoli, in Libya, and then my mom. The people from Sardinia are totally different from any other part in Italy for some reason. I don't know.
Yeah, well, but Italy's like that. Italy also itself is the regions. Every region is very, very different. But Sardinia, I'm sure, is.
They feel like they're not Italian. It's just totally different. So it wasn't until I met my husband and his family that I went into cultural shock. And, of course, we moved to Italy and lived in Rome for a year with my 5-month baby. And then everything that you wrote about the book, it was the same situation because I had.
Oh well, good. That's really interesting. That's great. That's,
yeah. So it was just funny to read.
I've been there.
So how do you manage? You know, because even now, my husband and I have been together for over 22 years, and so. Even now, when we get together as a family, it's funny. It's just funny.
Yeah.
And I'll never get over it. So how long did it take you to actually enjoy it?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. And I think part of this book, writing this book, and it's a little bit of a homage to my Italian family. And, in fact, I dedicated the book to them. Because it did, they embraced me and they liked me. I think I was a strange character because initially, I mean, I was working all the time. So I'd come with my husband on his trips, but maybe I would be working in my bedroom or he'd go on the trip alone because I needed to be somewhere else. I had a hard time. It was a hard time, but I don't know. I think it just takes time. And we've been married for 17 years. I think it's probably after year 10. I started, you get a little older, you get a little softer. And also I didn't have my career anymore. And I don't know. I'm really trying to learn the language now much more than, you know, I think year 10, I started to learn the language. I don't know. It's just, I think there, and I really, my eyes have been open. I mean, I'm much better now. I go and stay. I go and stay with my cousin alone, actually, in Rome, without my husband, because he's working now. So it's, I don't know. It's interesting.
It's funny.
Sometimes you just have to let your heart open up, and
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, our biggest problems with my husband and I in argument when it came to arguing about something that is family or whatever always came because of our kids, you know, because I wanted to do something and he thought, no, that's not how it's done, you know, or
right. Yeah.
You know, so it took us a while to kind of come full circle and get on the same page. And we've managed to do that. And we have two beautiful, well-adjusted girls.
That
speak multiple languages. And it was funny at the beginning because they would mix the Spanish. We mix everything. I grew up with English also because I went to American school in Venezuela. So I'll mix all of it. You know,
well, yeah, Spanish and Italian are very similar, or, you know, they sound similar to me anyway.
Yeah, grammatically if you're going to study, the grammar is totally different from Spanish. But when I mix them and I put some English words and whatever, people ask me if I'm from, I don't know, Portugal or because it sounds Portuguese or,
right.
or from Brazil. But at the beginning, the girls didn't even know the difference between Spanish and Italian. And when they started taking Spanish, they was put in Italian words to Spanish, and they had a little trouble there.
Right.
But anyway, our arguments always came from our kids. Do you have kids?
You know, we don't have kids. It's funny though. I would say our arguments, we're pretty comfortable with each other. Our arguments always were when family would get involved. When we'd go to Italy, we'd always have our worst arguments. I don't know why. I mean, you know, just. But anyway, we don't have kids, and for a while, I was like, if we had kids, I don't know, we would have survived. I think if we had them now, we would survive. But back then, I could imagine I would have a really hard time with having his. I'm sure his mother would come and stay with us because as is the culture, right? She'd come and stay for months, and I think I might die.
Yeah,
but we didn't have kids.
Mother-in-laws are not easy.
No, and it's funny because I get along very well with his aunts, his and his cousins and his father. It's his mother. It's funny. We have this quirky relationship, but we're starting to get better. But no, we didn't have kids. I can't have kids. I'm actually infertile, so we had to make some decisions early on, and this is kind of the route we went. You know, it's been nice, you know.
He gets hectic. Yeah. My husband and I weren't able to adjust much during the beginning because I, fortunately and unfortunately both, I was pregnant right away.
It
just happened. So now that the kids are basically older and going to college and all that stuff is when we're beginning to date again.
And
it's a total different feeling that when you start it, you know, and the culture shock is gone, everything. So it's kind of nice now, for us, too. A little boring in my
I know.
my point of view after going through everything. But
it is interesting when you have to be – yeah, you know, that's the one thing I think people who have kids, even when you don't have kids, it's really – it's just you and him, like, you know, every day. You know, there's no one stepping in to, you know, make things a little more crazy or interesting. It's different.
Yeah. So being married to an Italian man, the Italian stallion, you know, what's myth and what's true for all of our American women listeners?
What's myth and what's true? That's interesting. I think, what's true is they are very tied to they're tied to their mothers.
Mm-hmm.
There's that deep sort of bond there. So that's true. My husband's a little different because he is somewhat Americanized because he's lived here for 20 years, actually more than that now. Mm-hmm. What's false is the they're definitely, well, actually, what's true is they're definitely, I believe in the romance, the passion,
mm-hmm.
the tempers. I think that's true. I think the Italian man who sort of doesn't do anything in the house and is kind of lazy and, I don't know, messy or just depends on his wife to do anything, I don't think that's true.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if that's particularly a stereotype.
Yeah, I think it's a stereotype that it's not true. It's the same. I think it's the same measure than an American who's used to doing everything by himself because was by himself for a long time against a guy that's had somebody done.
Yeah. I mean, it's, so it depends. And whether you're in Italy or whether in the U.S. sometimes, because in Italy, you know, the kids do live with their parents until.
Yeah.
The end of time. The stereotype is true that they, I think, an Italian man, you know, works to live and not doesn't live to work, or you know, or
that
has more of a bigger look at life than necessarily, you know, what my career is, my job. You know, I believe that's the true stereotype.
Yeah. Somebody asked me once, you know, how do you manage? Because when my kids would come, friends would come, they would think we're want to kill each other, and we're just talking, you know. So.
Oh yeah, that's so true. That is so funny. My husband like does that with me on the street, you know, because they talk with their hands. That's
yeah.
so true. And it's like I'm like, can you not? Because you know you were in public. People think you're going to hit me. you know what I mean? He just talks
and
loudly
weird,
and
loud. I know. And I remember, you know, my kids, it came to a point, you know, especially when they were beginning high school, they just didn't want to bring people around. Like, and I'm all for people over. And now, you know, they still come when my kids are not here. If their friends are visiting from college, they'll come and see me because they know I have some tomato sauce in the refrigerator.
Yeah.
And you know, and they're used to it.
Food,
yeah. So they'll still come and they just have a blast watching us argue, and we're not arguing, we're talking.
Right.
You know?
Exactly. Yeah. You're not arguing, just talking. Yeah, that's funny. And it's funny. Like we'll do that in my family and stuff. It's pretty funny.
But how can I put this? What aspects of the Italian culture were you happy to include in your own? You know what I mean? That you didn't
oh yeah, absolutely. I can say for sure, food has my whole perspective of food and how you eat food. Eating it, sitting down at a table and eating,
yeah.
and what that means for like a family. I mean, because I did not come from that. I came from, again, my mom was a working mother. They were divorced. You know, we all made our own food. We're all on our own. You know, and it was really taking something out of the freezer and putting in the microwave, right? That's how I ate growing up. And so being introduced to this whole thing about, you know, and it's just I've now after 17 years, I'm completely the opposite, right? I mean, my husband and I will sit down for dinner when we're together. You know, we'll just every night. We sit down and we have dinner. We actually sit at the table and, you know, even if it's just a salad, but we sit and spend that time together.
You enjoy
and
the
in fact,
company. And
enjoy the company, have a glass of wine, and, you know, it's good food, too. It's Italian food. I mean, that's what we eat at home mostly is Italian food or, you know, versions of Italian food. But he's also had an impact on my entire family. I have two sisters and a brother and seven nieces and nephews, right, who grew up who are totally Americanized, right? Fast food generation of, and when he comes over, he cooks for them, and they just love it. And they all finally come and they sit down at the table, right? Whereas maybe if, you know, he hadn't made that meal, they would be all off doing their own things.
Yeah.
But they come because they know that what they're going to get is going to be good.
Yeah.
And so they sit, and then it's a nice experience. So that's been a big change.
Yeah.
For the better.
And we'll be back with more Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Inside Scoop Live is a global internet-based broadcast specializing in interviewing published authors about their current books and areas of expertise. Join us and hear both well-known and upcoming writers talking candidly about their life experience as well as the business of being an author in today's literary world. Always interesting and current, we strive to bring our audience high-quality discussions that spotlight a vast diversity of authors in the field today. Our interviews are available 24/7 through direct podcast as well as MP3 download for your convenience. Please visit us on InsideScoopLive.com.
Welcome back to Inside Scoop Live. Today I'm talking with Jackie Townsend, author of Imperfect Parents, a novel. Stay tuned because we are going to continue this fun, personal, and candid conversation with Jackie about coping with culture shock, relationships, and her own life experience integrating to an Italian culture as the American wife of her Italian husband. But in the meantime, you can check out her book, Imperfect Parents, a novel, by visiting her website at www.jackietownsend.com. And what of the American culture you were happy to keep in your relationship? I mean, what is it on the American? Because I have a lot of American culture points because I migrated from Venezuela here that I was very happy to adopt in my own way of life. So which ones are those?
That's what I've been happy to keep. I like my independence. Mm-hmm. I like, but I don't know if that's just me because I'm very independent. I like the fact that I feel like I have the freedom and choices to do whatever I want. There's opportunities for me.
Mm-hmm.
I could decide to be something else tomorrow, and I think I could go in that direction if I wanted to. I don't know that an Italian would have that same freedom of mind to explore a different career or,
mm-hmm.
you know, once you get into a job, it's really trying to stay with it, I think. And so I don't know. I mean, I guess that's one thing, but I don't think I'd ever give that up. That's just part of who I am.
Yeah, yeah. I find Americans very practical. And
okay.
That's
yeah.
something that I really adopted. You know, I am practical before I am anything else. And
yeah, yeah.
Something is practical is the right way to go. You know what I mean?
Right, right, right.
Yeah. So that's the like the number one for me.
Right. As opposed to like, you know, what? Like as
following
to...
the steps to make the pasta, for example. I'll give you an example. I'm 100% Italian when it comes to eating and cooking. But
yeah, okay.
I'm also very independent, and I'm also a career person. And
yeah.
Many times I didn't have time going through kids and whatever. But at the same time, I was not able to let go of the idea of my kids having at least one homemade cook meal a day.
Right,
you know what I
right.
mean? So dinner
yeah.
time was sacred. So,
yep.
And I didn't have time to cook from scratch from the beginning. So I came up with new ways of doing things. So the tomato sauce, instead of putting the tomatoes to sun dry for a day and then cooking them and peeling them and then doing the whole thing. That
oh, wow. So
does.
You really were.
Yeah. And, you know, instead of doing that, I just would buy the tomatoes. And if I didn't find nice tomatoes that were vegetables, I would buy the whole peeled tomatoes in the can.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
Stick it all in the blender with the onion and the garlic and a little bit of wine and the olive oil, salt, pepper, and then just cook it after it was blended.
Yeah, that sounds wonderful. You're
and
making
it was
me hungry.
Done. And then I would pour in the basil and the mint that my mom would put in there and pour a little bit more of olive oil. I don't care, salt, pepper, whatever. But it was done in 5 minutes because it was already
yeah,
all
yeah,
blended.
Yeah.
So my
yeah,
mom
no.
would like, that's not real tomato.
Yeah.
I'm like, what do you mean?
it's American tomato. It's perfect. Yeah, no, it's just the same. No, absolutely. Okay, I understand. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's where, I, you know, so it was either I would, you know, and it was all based on the practicality of things.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's either
which
that
makes,
or they're yeah. just not going to eat. They're going to go to McDonald's because there's
right,
no way
right.
I have 2 hours. I cannot feed them at midnight, you know.
Right,
so.
Right, right. That's funny.
Yeah, so I think that it's awesome, and I think it has to do with the pioneers coming here and needing to be practical to survive. And
yeah, no, absolutely, and also just the women who probably entered the workforce earlier
mm-hmm.
than
yes.
other places, you know, needed to adapt. And
yeah, so that was to me that was a big plus.
That's
culturally.
Yeah. No, it's funny because my husband. I think he had the opposite approach because I think he feels a little bit displaced, right? Because he lives in America and his entire family lives in Italy and he misses it. I think, you know, there's that loss because he's not, you know, you know this probably too. You're not in the place you grew up or your homeland.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he goes to extremes to recreate it at home in the kitchen. So he will take the time, you know, that's his therapy. He'll go in the kitchen and and spend hours making it all from scratch.
Yeah. We will do that maybe once a month. I remember I know how to make all these things, too, because my grandmother had a restaurant. My mom had a restaurant.
Oh, my
aunt had a restaurant. You know, when you're Italian, you move away and you need to make money, you just start a restaurant. And so that's what they did in Venezuela. And so since I was 10 years old, I was in somebody else's kitchen.
Interesting. Yeah.
So I know the long ways, and you know, but I remember about maybe I want to say 4 or 5 years ago, my husband. I made gnocchis a lot, but I never because it's easy for me to make, but I never make like the agnellotti, like the big raviolis.
From
scratch, making the pasta and whatever. My mom used to do that, so I decided to make it one day. And, of course, it took me the entire Saturday to make. And then I told my husband, did you like them? He's like, they were so good. They melted in my mouth. And good, because you're not having them again.
That is hilarious. You're not. I know. Well, my husband did that to me last Thanksgiving. He's like, I'm going to make agnellotti. And I'm like, oh, please, no, because I know what it means. It means I'm going to have to sit there. And I had to sit there and help him, right? And
yeah.
Like, really?
I told him, I didn't get help from him. I got help from, it was for his birthday, and we invited people, but we have visiting friends staying with us. And fortunately, my friend's mom, who's also Italian, that I grew up with in Venezuela, was there, and she helped me. And it's just,
you need help, right?
It's the entire day. I'm like, forget it. You're not having that. I'm so glad you liked it because it's not happening.
Yeah, because
again.
This is it. Yeah. That's funny.
But tell me a little bit more about, you know, what do you consider an Italian romance? You know, because there is a lot of romance in your book, and again, for our listeners, it's called Imperfect Parents, a novel. And please check it out because it's really, I'm keeping this book. My kids are reading this book. Everybody's going to read this book in my family. So if you know any Italians, you're going to really enjoy. If you're planning to go to Italy or if you're planning to marry an Italian. You need to read this book. So tell me a little bit more, you know, what is considered romantic? You know, I don't know, maybe talk about.
Yeah. Well, I'll definitely say this is not
movies
your tips.
Or, you know.
What do I consider romantic? You think
In an Italian way, yeah. What is Italian romance?
What is an Italian romance? Well, this is not your typical Italian romance novel. I think people pick it up, and I've gotten some interesting comments from the people looking for a certain kind of romance. It's the happily ever after romance, and this is not that. I mean, this is not necessarily that. This is about a complex relationship of people. People trying to understand each other and communicate. I think that's romance is the complexities of relationships and laughter, making each other laugh and trying to work through some of these interesting, complicated situations and seeing what's on the other side, which can be that's what the beauty comes in. It's it's like you don't just get something for free. You have to work at it. And then, there's the beauty with that. And I don't know if that's not necessarily, it's not your typical Italian romance where you meet the beautiful man and you, fall in love and he treats you like a goddess. And then you move on and you have kids and you live this happy life. I don't think that's true about Italians. They're not going to treat you like a goddess always. No one's going to. And so, I mean,
actually,
that's answering your question.
This is actually perfect because I remember watching the movie. What was the name of that movie? Tuscany Sun?
Under the Tuscan Sun. Yeah.
And I love that movie, but she was dating that Italian guy from Positano.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, beautiful.
It's so very stereotypical, and those are wonderful movies, and. But and they're fun to watch. They're an escape, but it's just not real. And I just wanted to write something real, right? And so I think some people want that, though, and so they're disappointed when they read the book. But if you're looking for something a little more interesting than that, it's a good read.
Yeah, no,
I also
I think it was very romantic, to be honest, and the way that you describe when you you know, when the main character went there and she's looking, you know, and it's kind of you're putting in parallel the reality of the arguments and everything that's going on cultural shock wise, and then she looks out the window and there it is, the perfect picture sunset, you know, and
yeah, you're in this amazing environment.
And, yeah,
and there's also there's a romance in food and wine, and there's that heavy wine theme in the book.
Mm-hmm. And also the little things, and just how she would get hypnotized by his little, you know, like putting the bread on the sauce and eating it and making a, you know, like a gesture face.
Right,
or whatever. I mean, those are the little things. To me, that's the perfect Italian romance, because that's what I've seen with my parents, and, you know, that was intact from the culture. Everything was surrounding little things that they did for each other, you know?
Yeah, that's right. No, that's interesting. That's right. That's absolutely right. So little things, right?
Yeah.
When you're sitting at a table and, you know, you're sharing a piece of, you know, an interesting yummy pasta or, I don't know, just nuances. Yeah, and that's, I agree. I think great.
Yeah. So I remember my oldest daughter once asked me, you know, so why are you still with Daddy? And I'm like, well, because he makes me espresso every morning.
Yeah.
So every time he got me really upset, I would remember that nobody else was going to make me.
Yeah, well, where am I going to get my espresso every morning? That's actually pretty. That's actually pretty sweet.
And she's like, well, the reason he does that is because the first reaction I have when I wake up in the morning is to eliminate whoever is waking me up. I'm not a morning person. So he discovered that if he brings me a cup of espresso and puts it next to my nightstand, just the smell will wake me up, and then I'll be all sweet and nice.
I know, right? It's the little things. That's so true. It just could be like same as my husband will make a little tomato sauce, and you can smell it in the pan, and it's like, okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is what it's about.
that's what it's about. Yeah. It's so funny. And that's, I think that's something that it's lost in today's society, you know, taking the time to do little things for each other.
Exactly, because everybody's so busy and hurried, and it's and taking the time to actually, you know, sit down, like I said, and have even just like a cup of coffee together or a meal. Or
We're getting close to our running out of time, but there's two things that I want to ask you. Why Imperfect Pairings is No Eat, Pray, Love?
I think we've kind of touched upon this actually a lot. But I think Elizabeth Gilbert is a wonderful writer. I put the book down halfway through it when I was in India. I've actually been to India and done yoga and all that. And anyway, the India thing didn't work for me, so I put it down. But I actually loved her first chapter on Italy, or her first section. But the difference is that what Melissa Gilbert does is wander around Italy, going from restaurant to restaurant, eating, and just, you know, just fabulous food, as one should when they're in Italy, Rome. That's what you do. She didn't go to museums. You know, she just loved the people, and, you know, walked around and just, and, you know, ate her way through Italy. And the funny thing about being in Italy, if you're married to an Italian, is you never go out to restaurants. You eat. They don't go out to eat. You eat at the family. You eat with the family in the house. Everybody at the table for lunch and dinner. And that is a whole different kind of experience of Italy. So you're seeing these nuances of what's really going on. So I see this book as sort of my Imperfect Pairings is more of an inside-out look. And then you've got Eat, Pray, Love, which is more of sort of the typical outside-in look, meaning you're really focusing in on the stereotypes, like the guy, which is, I think, hilarious, and it's so true, the men standing outside of the bakery at, you know, 2 a.m. or 3 a.m. to get the cornetos fresh out of the oven, and they're doing that instead of being at, like, a bar drinking shots, like an American themed male at that age would do. And she's lovely. She captures all that so well. But Italy is, like, so much more than that. Those things, and that's the problem. No one really gets below those surface level stereotypes.
Yeah,
and I hope my book does. So that was my intention.
Yeah, I think that you did. I really think that you did. And then the other thing that I wanted for our listeners that I don't know about you, but I have been asked this by my American friends, my Venezuelan friends, when I was younger. What are at least three crucial things that somebody should know when meeting their Italian significant other family.
Oh, and yeah, the family. Okay, that's actually good. Yeah, so three. You really, you know, and I think I wrote about this somewhere. But anyway, I think you need to, as an American, you need to like step back and calm down and listen and just you've got to let go of yourself. You need to sort of. Italians aren't very forward. They don't, you know, there's a lot of things that they don't share. They're very intense how they eat their food, what they do on a daily basis. The little simple things, but they do those things and they don't veer from them. So you just got to get in line and, you know, and open yourself up to that. So maybe don't talk as loudly or you just really have to try to let yourself go, you know, step back from yourself and don't have expectations.
That is a wonderful advice.
I don't know if that's like making it very attractive, but
advice. I always tell my friends is let them share first and then you share later.
Yeah.
Because,
don't talk about yourself.
Yes, they are very eager to share. So much so that they're not interested in knowing as much about you in the beginning. They just want to share themselves. It's just it goes with that. We're not very patient. We're like embracing. You know, we want to embrace you, but by making you one of ourselves.
Right.
And after that is out of the system, then we're curious more about your, you know.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. They want to embrace you into the family, and they're not gonna care about your career. they care, but that's not what it's about for them.
It's just impossible. We get totally blindsided because we're so eager to give ourselves, to the new person and show what we're all about and try this and try that and why you're not eating and, you know, you didn't like it, you know, and I'm like, that's how we are. And, you know, if you only had one once, you didn't serve yourself twice, what's wrong with you?
No, exactly right.
Yeah, did it need more salt?
I know, right. And that's just how it is. And you sort of have to accept it.
But once that's out of the way and we just drained it all out of our system, then we, like, become very curious and we start observing the new person and we're
absolutely,
like,
I think my family, the Italian family, is still looking at me now. It really takes a while. They're still trying to get to know. Now they're very curious about, especially now that I've written this book. Very curious about me.
Yeah. And that doesn't mean that we accept the person from the beginning, regardless. You know?
Oh, absolutely.
We made you part of the family, you know, regardless.
That's the thing.
Of where
you,
and
it's very wonderful, warm people accept you in and want to, you know, take care of you immediately and you just let them.
And we just don't understand it quickly, you know, that there's more to the other person that we don't know.
Right.
Yeah. But, this is a wonderful conversation I'm having.
No, this has been great. Yeah, no, this was fun. Your background is so interesting, so I didn't realize that.
And I want to make sure that we let everybody know where to find your book. And, again, your website is www.jackietownsend.com. And I'm going to spell it for you, J-A-C-K-I-E, T as in Tony, O-W-N, send.com. I really, really encourage everybody interested in Italian culture, especially from your point of view, to check out this book. But also, you know, if you enjoy romantic, funny, comedy, but at the same time with, with a backbone, this is the book for you. It has a backbone. It's not all in the clouds. It's a real account of an Italian romance. So check it out. And again, it's Imperfect Pairings, a novel from Jackie Townsend. Jackie, there's so much in love with your book that I have to just talk about a little bit more before we go. What is the biggest message as a person, as a writer, that you want to portray about relationships with this book?
So it's a long-term game. That's the message I want to give. But it's wonderful. I think that relationships are complex, and that's what makes them beautiful.
That's actually perfect.
That's what makes them beautiful.
I want to thank you so much for being with us. Remember, it doesn't matter how complex it looks. Embrace it, and you'll find the beauty in it. Thank you so much for being with us, Jackie.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'll just follow up on your next one. I want to know what happens with your next book, because you don't only write about Italians. You have your first book also that's about sister relationships. So I find your writing very interesting, and I'm really going to follow. I'm going to follow up with your next project. So
great. Well, thank you.
Oh, thank you. Listeners, again, Imperfect Parents by Jackie Townsend. Check it out. It's available in Amazon and everywhere else, and her website, again, is JackieTownsend.com. Thank you for listening, and until next time.